Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. But they also have great wine coolers, water, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, although Buhner does prefer garlic. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Matt Catrillo's in the house today.
Good afternoon, Steve Jones, and happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. This, by the way, is the King's birthday today.
Oh, how about that? Maybe he'll win sports trivia today.
Yes, I mean, I think we have, no matter what we do, we should rig it so that he wins. Dick Girardi on the show today, as a matter of fact. Believe it or not, there's a sporting event tomorrow. Did you know that?
No.
The Florida Derby is being run tomorrow.
Wow.
Now, it's a, quote, derby prep, but it's a derby prep for a derby that's not until September.
Hey, I'm just getting ready for iRacing this weekend. That's all.
You know, El Sudaroni sent us that deal on I. Now, when is this going to? What time is this?
That I don't know. I don't even know when the NASCAR one is, actually.
Okay, is this now? This is televised.
I believe so. I'm not sure what channel has it though. I'm going to check.
I believe the Florida Derby is on ABC. Is on NBC Sports Net. So we've got Patrick Walker from CBS Sports. We'll talk about a little bit about the NFL draft, but a lot about what's been going on in the NFL. Roger Goodell made his statement yesterday. Hey, look, we're having the draft. We're going to do it at remote locations, but we're having the draft. And he then told everyone else, in no uncertain terms, enough public comment about the draft. We're done. And I can't blame him as the commissioner of the league. In other words, we've made up our mind, so really don't bother wasting your breath any longer telling us, you know, what your opinion happens to be about the draft. We're having the draft, so get ready for it. That's pretty much what the commissioner said. I don't blame him. Once you make a decision as an organization, you do it. And it doesn't help any organization to have people out there off the reservation. It's okay before a public decision is announced. You know, your opinion is this, that, the other thing. Once they make the decision, then go for it. It's going to be interesting to see the evaluation. You're really going to have to rely on what a video tells you, or if you've had scouts out there at some point looking at them. So many pro days ended up getting canceled. And as we know, when it comes to Penn State, and for Penn State, it's not just, people think about Yetur Gross-Matos, they think about K.J. Hamler. Yetur, in all likelihood, is going to be a first-round pick. K.J. is projected all over the lot in the first three rounds. As you know, neither one of them ran a 40 at the combine. in Indianapolis. They were going to run their 40s at their pro day. But that pro day was also going to be important for other people. It wasn't just going to be important for them. It was going to be important for Garrett Taylor. It was going to be important for Robert Windsor. You know, there's a list of people that the pro day was going to be important for, some of whom weren't invited to the combine. And it was going to be important again for John Reed. Now, keep in mind, several teams during the course of a season do show up at practice. They do watch the players work out of it. Now, they'll send their scouts out. I can't think of a team that did not make its way onto campus in the fall. I can't think of one that did not. So everybody has been here, and some multiple times, to watch them practice and also to sit down and look at tape. So they've had that, which is important. A lot of events, of course, have been pushed back. The NFL draft has not. We don't know what the landscape looks like in 2 weeks, let alone what it's going to look like on May 1st. 2 weeks, it could be bad. 2 weeks, it could be turning the corner. We don't know. There's so much mystery with this. We don't know. So let's go with what we do know. What we do know is that they have made enough changes where they are loading up the last half of the year with sporting events. But it's interesting that you're starting to get some semblance, and keep in mind that the people in the NBA and the people in Major League Baseball are not just out there throwing darts into the wind hoping that that's where it lands. They're in contact with people from the CDC. They're in contact with NIH. I mean, you know, so they're trying to make their decisions also based on that. They're the ones that have at least given some semblance of optimism. Let's start with Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban is one of those guys, like him or not, when he does speak, people do listen. And for some people who listen to the show, they say, I know the name Mark Cuban. You may not. He's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. He also is one of the panelists on the TV show Shark Tank on ABC. He is a self-made guy. When he talks, usually, a fair amount of people listen. And he has been throwing out liberally the date of June 1st. Interesting to get started. And Major League Baseball put out a very optimistic. Now, look, and you have to have various plans. What's the worst case scenario? Here's the plan. What's the best case scenario? Here's the plan. Here are a couple of other scenarios in between. One is, okay, we didn't quite get to the worst case scenario, but it was bad. The other one is, we didn't quite get to the best case scenario, but it actually is pretty good. And so you have to have multiple plans. But Major League Baseball put out a rather optimistic look yesterday as to how they think this is going to play out. This could possibly, for them, play out. They're looking at possibly playing 140 games. And by the way, the Phillies will be on Eagle 107 this year with Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson. Our thanks to LA for being on the show earlier in the week. When you look at Major League Baseball, they have put out, well, they haven't put it out publicly, but John Heyman is the one that got a hold of sources in the majors. And when he did, he found they would like to play 140 games idealistically. Interesting.
Can we just stop with this? Like, this, there is just, I mean, especially if we don't start until June, let's say. I mean, I know everyone's saying maybe mid-May for the start of baseball, but I don't think that's going to be realistic, to be honest. But what we have to be careful of here, and this is where I'm not necessarily have the best trust in Rob Manfred, though he came across well with Scott Van Pelt the other night on SportsCenter, is we got to make sure that whatever amount of games that they decide to play, that they're going to be done correctly. Because if you try to squeeze in all these doubleheaders, well, and so you're just going to put players and teams at risk, and not only that too, but maybe you might not get the best game from these players, and that might cost them a playoff spot down the line, and now you got to worry about, are you going to modify that at all?
Let's go through what John Heyman put out. This is what he tweeted out. Series of scoops regarding the structure of the 2020 season. And this is what's beginning to take shape. Okay. Most notably, Heyman tweets that MLB is considering expanding the playoff field from 10 to 14 teams. Back in February, it was reported that MLB was considering such a change to the postseason format on a permanent basis. Anyway, here's an opportunity for them to kick the tires on it. At the moment, the beginning of the regular season in late May seems to be the best possible outcome. So, in other words, for them, on the best case scenario, sometime between Memorial Day and June 1st. All right? The aim for the time being, that's the aim, is for a 140-game season. Bob Nightingale, who was on with us yesterday, this is really almost directly from our show, so it's the same. According to Bob Nightingale, Major League Baseball is considering going with a 29-man roster in order to help teams handle the compressed schedule. Major League Baseball may also consider starting the season in, say, spring training locales as opposed to current COVID-19 hotspots like New York City. Now, keep in mind, some of those spring training locales could be COVID-19 hotspots. You don't know. That's why everything's fluid. You just have to be careful about that.
Yeah, the Yankees are going to have that problem. They've already had two minor league prospects test positive down in Tampa.
Right, right. But there are other minor league places you could play, and you could also start this. Look, I have zero idea what it's like in Kansas City, none. But say Kansas City is one of those county areas that is in pretty good shape, which I don't know if they are or not. I don't. But, you know, say they're fine. You could play in Kansas City. And then the Yankees could play in the Royals complex. You know, see what I'm saying? There's a lot of things you can do. There's more options here, maybe, than people realize. While Major League Baseball hopes to avoid playing games without fans in attendance, doing so is a possible consideration should the circumstances warrant, at least initially. Major League Baseball's calendar would likely be extended on the back end, which would mean a late October start for the expanded playoffs. Obviously, the presence of cold weather teams in the later rounds of the postseason could complicate the plan. That's why they created domes in Toronto and Milwaukee. And, of course, much of this does depend on the current arc of the pandemic and when social distancing measures might be eased. Also, the players will need some time to ramp up. But as I think both Bob and Larry and I, the three of us, talked about this week when we discussed this on the show, this is different now than 50 years ago. This is not Babe Ruth going to training camp, spring training, and getting himself into some semblance of shape to play baseball. In every sport, regardless of what the sport is, football, basketball, baseball, hockey, volleyball, wrestling, whatever it may be, almost every athlete, without exception, walks into camp in shape, ready to go. That's what's expected of you these days. For a Major League Baseball player, or for a pro basketball player or pro hockey player, they're probably back to doing their workout regimen that they have in November, December, and early January. Because they don't need to go out and get part-time jobs like they did back in the old days. They have a workout, an off-season workout regimen, usually on their own. Now, maybe some of them have to use a gym, which, of course, gyms in many places are closed. But most have their own home workout ability. And the important part is Major League Baseball has reached a deal with the players for the upcoming season. So that allows them to get into the planning stage as to what to do and how to handle it. Now we'll see if we get some cooperation from the virus. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Yeah.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Keep in mind that great service department they have at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, although Buhner does like garlic. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, let's get to some NFL talk now. By the way, Dick Girardi in the next half hour, looking forward to talking to DJ about not just basketball, but also horse racing. We bring in Patrick Walker from CBSSports.com to join us, talk about the NFL. Patrick, great to have you with us. Welcome.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys, for reaching out.
Okay, so let's start with this. I want to start at least with the Dallas Cowboys, and then we'll get to other parts with the draft in a few moments. I mean, Travis Frederick retires, and I'll be honest, when they drafted him in the first round, I was like, what the heck are they doing? It turned out he had a great career. They signed Gerald McCoy. And so forth. I want to get to a guy, Connor McGovern, who's a Penn Stater, drafted a year ago. Is he one of the guys they would look at as a possibility for replacing Travis Frederick, who retires at 29?
Absolutely he is. And I penned a piece yesterday evening, shortly after the news of Travis Frederick's decision broke, citing that the Cowboys have in-house options to replace Frederick going forward. Now, obviously replacing a perennial all-pro center is not going to be easy, but the Cowboys are far from being in desperation mode. We talk about Connor McGovern, who the Cowboys brought in with the idea of potentially trying him at the left guard position, because obviously, although they have Connor Williams, who was selected the year prior, Connor Williams is dealing with some injury issues, some durability issues, and they wanted to see what they could get from McGovern at that position, keeping in mind that the Cowboys and Jerry Jones specifically said that Connor McGovern being available in the third round of last year's draft was a deal that they simply couldn't pass up on. So they felt like they had to have McGovern. And when you look at them retaining Joe Looney, keeping him from going to the New York Giants, that re-signing now, it went from big to absolutely massive to keeping Looney. Looney proved himself a more than capable starter in 2018 when Frederick was sidelined after the initial diagnosis with GBS. So Looney will get the nod as starter initially, but Looney's only on a one-year deal. So for those wondering what's the future of the position, I point directly at Connor McGovern. Now, McGovern had a redshirt season last year because he tore his pec prior to the season beginning. So he's going to have to ramp up pretty quickly. We don't know yet how off-season programs are going to work, obviously, with the coronavirus pandemic. But once football does fire back up, if McGovern can get in and ramp up quickly to an NFL level, I would not be surprised if Connor McGovern beats out Joe Looney at some point in 2020 as the starting center. McGovern, correct me if I'm wrong, fellas, he logged 14 starts at center.
14 starts
at Penn State.
Yep.
He has the ability to do it, and now it's just a matter of, you know, acclimating him to the NFL game.
I'll keep it on the Penn State level for a moment. Sean Lee did re-sign with the Cowboys. Obviously, when he's played, he's been terrific for them. Now, obviously, he's getting to the point where it's the twilight of his career. What has Sean Lee meant, and what can he mean moving forward?
Sean Lee has meant a tremendous amount to the Cowboys over the course of his career. Obviously, as you mentioned, he's had durability issues, but when he's been on the field, he's been lights out for the most part. And going into the 2019 season, obviously those durability concerns continued, but Sean Lee did approach the team and tell them basically that he'd take a pay cut to remain with them so that he could be insurance at the position. Now they moved him to Sam on the strong side, but it turned out that Leighton Van Der Esch had the issues, and you know he had to leave on injured reserve with that neck injury issue. And Sean Lee logged 16 starts. And what does he give you in those 16 starts? He gives you some of the best football you've seen from Sean Lee in the past several seasons. So the fact that he's in his early 30s is of no consequence to me, because if you look at it theoretically speaking, because of all of the injuries over the course of his career that's caused him to miss time, he's technically football younger, for lack of a better way to put it, than someone who would be his age and have played more in that same span of time, if that makes sense. So the retention of Sean Lee is big for them. I'm told that Leighton Van Der Esch is still expected to be fully healthy by the time the season starts. However, between Leighton Van Der Esch's recent issues with the neck, Jalen Smith took a step back in 2019. You need Sean Lee on the field, if only for leadership, but most certainly for what he showed you that he can still do over the course of the 2019 season.
He's also one of the players out there that can keep you competitive with his mind.
Absolutely. He's a coach on the field.
Yeah.
He's a coach on the field. That's the kind of guy that you need. And again, from a depth perspective, fantastic to have that type of talent. I mean, he's an all-pro talent when he's fully healthy and firing on all cylinders. So to be able to go to the bench and pull someone like Sean Lee up, that in and of itself is magnificent. But also, when he's on the field, he's keeping them fired up. He's keeping them competitive. He has arguably the highest football IQ on the team. You guys know as well as I do when it comes to dissecting offenses, who's better at that than Sean Lee?
That's
so he has a future in coaching in front of him, but he's not done playing yet, and the Cowboys should be thankful for that.
What do you think of Randy Gregory as, and you wrote the story about him asking for reinstatement? I don't blame him. I'd ask for reinstatement too. What are the odds, in your opinion, that Roger Goodell says yes, and would it be a conditional reinstatement?
I think the odds are very good. Now, I would be clear in that, you know, speaking with Gregory directly, first and foremost, he does fully intend to return to the field in 2020, and as he put it to me, the difference is this time it'll be for good, which is something the Cowboys absolutely love hearing on the heels of losing Robert Quinn on that five-year deal to the Chicago Bears.
And he also told you, I believe, Patrick, that he says mentally he's in the best place he's been in a long time.
Correct, and that's massive to hear that from a guy who deals with not one, not two, but three separate clinically diagnosed mental illnesses.
Yeah.
And that's what has him using marijuana in a medicinal capacity, and obviously with the old CBA criminalizing marijuana in the way it did, it really put him up against Commissioner Roger Goodell, you know, locked horns time and time and time again. Now we're talking about 2020, new collective bargaining agreement, new installments in that agreement that prop up support systems for mental illness, completely or almost completely decriminalizes the use of marijuana.
Yeah.
But for Randy Gregory, he's still going to be held to the same terms of his suspension. So once he does file for reinstatement, which I'm told will be extremely soon, it's not happened just yet as we have this conversation, but it's coming, the conversation that he has with Roger Goodell, now it's going to be a much more different. It's going to be different because the landscape has changed. So now it's simply a matter of Goodell understanding and being confident that Gregory is on sound footing mentally. It sounds like it is. He is. Again, I can confirm, you know, he's brought his parents down to Texas to live with him. The Cowboys continue to be a support system for him, and he's just a genuinely happy guy. When I was talking to him, he just exudes this positivity, and he's in a great space. And I believe that that is going to come across well against Roger Goodell. Goodell's going to give him another shot. And now that he's in the league, if he does happen to have another setback, and keeping in mind the CBA allows for greater variance before THC is actually deemed positive on a test now. But all things considered, the door's been kicked wide open for Randy Gregory. And I'm proud of him. The Cowboys are proud of him. Yeah. And the Cowboys need him now more than ever. So the timing is fantastic.
Patrick, I have to ask you about Dak Prescott. I want to do this in two levels. Obviously, in terms of the ability to get paid, and he's been franchised by the club. A quarterback has the ability, because there are so few that can play it right on this level, to have more leverage in all of this. When you watch Dak Prescott, we know he has the leverage. When you watch him play, how good actually is he?
I think Dak Prescott is top 10 definitely. When he's fired on all cylinders, he's top 5. And I believe that he can and will only get better. You look at what's transpired over the past few seasons. Dak Prescott has gone from Scott Linehan to Kellen Moore. Yeah. And now he's going from Jason Garrett to Mike McCarthy. But with these changes, which are never good for any franchise quarterback to constantly have these changes and these moving pieces around them, right? Dez Bryant was here in Dallas when Dak Prescott was drafted. Is Dez Bryant still here? No. And now Amari Cooper is the guy. So through all of that, Dak Prescott has shown he can be the steady hand at the position, but also produce when called upon. He battled some shoulder injury issues on the back end of the season. But that being the case, he still was able to produce a career-best season statistically under a new coordinator who also was entering his first year ever as an NFL right. offensive coordinator. This lets you know that Dak Prescott is, in fact, the right guy for the job here in Dallas. Now you bring in Mike McCarthy, a proven quarterback whisperer, to add to what Kellen Moore has already been able to unlock in 2019 in Dak Prescott, and the sky's the limit. For Dak, and he has all the leverage right now by virtue of not signing that deal, that offer that was put in front of him, which averaged around $33-34 million in September. And now the Cowboys have to pay him. That's why you're not seeing them play the typical media chess match of good guy, bad guy when it comes to Dak Prescott. Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones are both saying the same thing. They're both in lockstep, and they're saying Dak Prescott is the guy. The deal's going to get done. I'm hearing the same thing behind the scenes. Now it's just a matter of how long is the term going to be on this deal? What's the guaranteed money going to be? Those two things are what they're hammering out.
That's an excellent point about that. They are not playing good cop, bad cop in public, which sometimes obviously happens. Two running backs, Saquon Barkley, Zeke Elliott. After that, okay, after that, with Todd Gurley, okay, he's been hurt, but now he's a Falcon. Melvin Gordon, I'm holding out. I'm over here sitting here saying, why? What does this tell us about the running back outside of Barkley and Elliott? What does this tell us about the running back spot in the NFL when you look at Gordon holding out, now he's a Denver Bronco, and you look at Gurley who got banged up, and then he's an Atlanta Falcon?
It tells you that running backs matter, but only if your running back is a generational talent like Saquon Barkley or Ezekiel Elliott. Those are the kinds of guys who your offense simply can't do without. Melvin Gordon overextended his hand with the Los Angeles Chargers, to say the least, by holding out, trying to ride the Ezekiel Elliott holdout wave at the time, and he found out quickly and swiftly that he's not Ezekiel Elliott, and the Chargers were not going to treat him as such. Chargers pulled back on that offer, and now you're seeing him accept less money, almost a year later, to play for the Denver Broncos. Todd Gurley, when healthy, and I'm not going to show my dog's bias here because I'm a UGA alum. go dog. When healthy, I'm going to try to remain objective here on soccer.
You're doing okay. I'm not going to ask
you guys talking about Sean Lee and Connor McGuff.
I'm right? not going to ask you about Sony Michel or Nick Chubb. Okay.
I'm trying hard enough with Todd Gurley. Don't pile it on.
Okay.
Don't pile it on. All right. So Todd Gurley, when healthy, is in the conversation of Barkley and Elliott. Is he on the same level? That can be argued, but we're hearing a lot of issues with, you know, is his knee degrading over time? Now he's only on the one-year deal with Atlanta. Why not a longer-term deal with Atlanta? So, yes, some question marks going to be there. I do believe that for my money, if you put Melvin Gordon and Todd Gurley in front of me, all bias aside, I'm going with Todd Gurley, a healthy Todd Gurley.
I absolutely agree.
Absolutely healthy Todd Gurley, but you know, beneath, or I should say below, not beneath, but below the Barkley versus Elliott conversation, you're hard pressed to figure out another running back that's in the league. And yeah, you can throw Derrick Henry out there. He's one of the elite backs, and obviously he was the motor that carried the Tennessee Titans to the upsets in the playoffs over the Patriots and then the Ravens subsequently. But I don't even know that Derrick Henry is Ezekiel Elliott or Saquon Barkley. So
he's not the pass catcher either one is.
Exactly.
See, that's the other part.
Receiving out of the backfield, that's where he kind of lacks. Now, he can give that to you in a pinch, but consistently not so much. Yeah. So, again, running backs do matter, but they only truly matter if, you know, they're a guy that is irreplaceable.
Generational talent,
There you go. A potential Hall of Fame talent. If they can continue to be consistent, Saquon Barkley and Ezekiel Elliott, if they continue to remain consistent, they're no doubt Hall of Famers.
Outside of the non-Georgia guys, obviously. All right, so
I gave him my best shot.
I know you did, because I haven't even gotten to DeAndre Swift for you. So I want to ask you about the draft part. The league has to make obviously some important decisions about this. So far, they've been able to do business as usual. And by doing business as usual, you're allowed to crank out as many stories as possible. And by them doing business as usual, I've had a lot of guests on the show to talk about business as usual. What about the draft? What are you hearing about how they want to handle it?
Well, what I'm hearing right now is you can pretty much cancel Las Vegas. Yeah. And for obvious reasons, the city of Las Vegas itself is pretty much shut down because of coronavirus pandemic. Now the question is, and obviously the NFL has already officially canceled any fan events, but what I'm hearing is that they're going to look into holding it from a television studio location to be determined. And then, you know, in the broadcast, they'll have cutaways to the respective team that's on the clock, the team's headquarters, draft room, whatever you want to deem that as. And it's going to harken back to the days where the NFL draft didn't have a ton of pomp and circumstance.
Right.
You didn't have guys who were being prepped to be transported by boat to the draft.
Right, that's true.
So this is going to go back a few decades, and this is going to be some throwback NFL draft where, you know, it's kind of like the prospect visits or lack thereof now, because teams can't visit with prospects. They have to lean heavily on film and their scouts actually knowing what they're talking about and what they're looking at.
Yep.
The NFL draft is going to be in that same breath to say, hey, you know, no fans, no fireworks. It's just all football. Here's who's available. Who do you want? Let's talk about why they fit or why they don't fit. So I think that's what all 32 teams are in for in April, but it's to be determined because the NFL hasn't made any public announcement outside of simply canceling fan events.
Yeah, but even in the old days, they still allowed some Jet fans in. They had a little.
You got to get some booze in.
Add a little color to the to the event and the announcement of the name.
Like, color, to say the least.
They're happy. They're mad. There was no in-between. Happy, mad. Jets fans.
Jets fans. I mean, there can't be a gray area when it comes to Jets fans. Either they're in heaven or they're in hell. They don't know what earth is.
Patrick, this was not good. It was great. It was great having you on. You know, and again, because I thought you were such a great guest, I figured we'd talk more about the Georgia running backs. I mean, just, you know, to make you happy.
Thank you so much for throwing me that bone. No pun intended.
No pun intended. Hey, we can't wait to have you back on. Thanks so much for your time. You were great.
So much fun. Talk to you guys soon.
Patrick Walker, CBS Sports. You know, I feel like we were talking about Jets fans and the draft.
Didn't you picture Chris Elio?
We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors and Brewers Outlet.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Ever walk into a bank and borrow money without paying interest? Me either. That's why I'm excited to announce 12-month 0% financing is back at Peters. Hi, it's Bart again. If your old appliance is giving you fits, come see us at Peters. We deliver and service what we sell. Always. No 800 numbers, no strangers to deal with, no hassle. Choose from GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, and more, including Speed Queen Home Laundry, the best built, best backed washers and dryers on the market. Whatever your choice, buy it today and take a full year to pay. Interest free. If you don't know Peters, you should. Our family has been selling and servicing major appliances for 60 years. We are your local appliance experts. Come find out what makes us better. From washers to dryers, refrigerators, and ranges, we can help with your appliance needs. And if your appliance ever breaks, just give us a call. Easy. Great deals, good service, free delivery, and 0% financing through March. What more could you ask for? Peters Home Appliance Center, Market Street, Sunbury.
Financing with approved credit through Synchrony Bank. See salesperson for full details.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. It's going to be interesting to see. Let's do a little brainstorming here. I feel like a lot of what we do during this is brainstorm, because everybody's trying to make contingency plans on the fly. Here's one now for college basketball. As we pointed out yesterday, and Dick and I are going to talk about this in the next half hour, the payout to all the NCAA, from the NCAA to the basketball programs, is going to be less. I mean, most programs can expect to get a third to 40% of what they usually get from the NCAA. Part of that is, let's take Penn State, for example. Penn State has 20 Big Ten games. They have three games in the Charleston tournament. They have a neutral site game. They have an ACC challenge game. So now at this point, we're up to 25 games. So that leaves you with six. I mentioned the ACC challenge. Six, because I think when it comes to the Gavitt games, you're usually you're in that 2 out of 3 years. Penn State's been in back-to-back years, so they might rotate out of that this year. So Penn State really essentially has six games to schedule. Normally when you schedule a home-and-home with somebody, there's no buyout. You're not paying for the game. Other games, for example, you have to pay to have them play you. Would there be fewer of those because of the money crunch?
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.